5 minutes, when my time is up, I stop. I committed myself not to work in overtime, so you see, what you do by committing yourself in advance, you get stuck by getting cheated out of half an hour. All right, my time is up, and we can elaborate.
Your time
we're going to have the questions, huh?
Your time is not up, because you'll have a lot of questions.
A lot of questions, okay. Then we'll fill in with questions.
I want to make a few announcements.
What, you want to make a few announcements?
Few announcements. All right. I'm ready.
Yeah, first of all, I have to apologize to. I meant no insult. I use the illusion only in the sense that you were both a member of the same union. Now you can't deny that.
No, I can't.
I take partial responsibility because I was the one that sent you in that
union.
Sure. I took him out. He was a soda jerk. I'll expose you. He was a soda jerk here. And I took him out by the nape of the neck and I said, a soda jerk, a man of your size, down to the longshoreman's area. Franco.
What happened in the 1934 strike?
It was a very successful strike. But there again, they learned from the 1919 strike in Seattle, where they made some very, very egregious errors, you see. The Seattle General Strike was a general strike that had no definitive end. It wasn't characterized as a general strike of a protest character. It wasn't, there was no time limit set, you see. It was called a general strike against the government intervention, and it was ostensibly and obviously a strike against the government of no time duration. Now, a strike against the government can only end one way, either by the capitulation of the government or by the workers taking over, taking power. You see, it's a political strike. It becomes a political general strike. The first error they made was they gave up the Seattle unions had their own newspaper, their own daily newspaper, which competed successfully with the newspaper of the bourgeoisie in Seattle. At the time of the general strike, they gave up the publication of their own paper because they said it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair to the other papers, to the bosses' papers, if we published our paper and prevented them from publishing theirs. So they gave up the publication of their paper. The bosses continued publishing the paper and filling it full of filth and lies about the strike and undermining the strike and everything they said for 3 or 4 days until they actually turned the sentiment around, you see. There was no unified command. In a general strike, the workers are in power. They've got to exercise that power. They've got to exercise police power. Who decides whether a hospital is open or closed? Who decides whether streetcars run or not? The workers decide. The general strike committee decides. You see. So it develops a situation of dual power. You see. And dual power situation by its very nature is a very transitory one. It's got to be settled one way or another. Now what happened was that the Topographical Union countermanded the order of the General Strike Committee and sent their people back to work. They said that the work people had been. So they continued publishing these papers. And after about a week, the unions began publishing it, but it was too late by then. In San Francisco, they didn't make that mistake. In San Francisco, from the very outset, the general strike was a protest strike. It was a protest because the cops had shot down 2 longshoremen who were engaged in a demonstration, picketing. Bordeaux and...
Barry
and Bordeaux were their names. It was a protest strike. Everybody knew it was a protest strike. But even then, the general strike committee had assumed responsibility for making decisions, you see. To keep the elementary system of the city going, which they did. And it was a successful general strike because when their protest was over, they called those workers back, and the workers went back to work. And it created a tremendous feeling of solidarity among all of the workers of San Francisco and of the country, you see. So they did learn something. They did learn something from the general strike. The general strike isn't something you play around with. No. Precisely because of that. So in this instance, it was a successful strike in Seattle. They went back to work, and then they had to call them out again when they settled the strike. And there was enough solidarity left for the workers to come, go back to work, then come back out again, and then go back again to work. But that was unusual. That could happen only in Seattle. They say because of the poor food of character of the labor
movement. Yeah. When we were talking about the communist League of America, it's really curious. You didn't bring up what its political position was in relationship to the Labor Party question. And because at that time, as I understand, it was opposed to a Labor Party in the United States. And I want to know if you could expand on that. Also, in your book, one thing that Canada said is that the SWP made a mistake in not recognizing the strength of the movement of the CIO and failed to really get involved in the construction of the CIO as the CP did. And the CP did it by getting hired by Lewis and other bureaucrats and ran into a lot of areas that way. So maybe you can expand on that, because I don't think it's accurate to say just the CP with the CIO, you know, was opposed to the CIO in the beginning and didn't get involved, because they did get involved in the CIO under the direction of Lewis. The other question was the thing with Lundberg. Lundberg wasn't against the Stalinists for their right-wing policies, but at the same time, Lundberg was a syndicalist, and he was opposed to political action by the trade unions. And the question is the role of the SWP or the proxy within the sales union, within the other unions, with these anti-Stalinists, because in my feeling, there was a failure to fight for the Labor Party policy against the syndicalist positions, the anti-Stalinist positions of Lundberg. And the other question around Lundberg was that after Lundberg collaborated with the Trotskyist movement against the Stalinists, then later when they were purges, he kicked the Trotskyists out of the sales unions and other unions. So the Trotskyists were used, I think, by Lundberg and other anti-Stalinists who were kicked out of those unions. That may could have been avoided, but maybe you could raise some points on that. And the last...
Hey, wait a moment. Who can remember all that?
Right.
until 1938, you tell me about the Stalin. Imagine my embarrassment when I had to get up in the Socialist Party. I think the first meeting I attended, I made a speech against the Labour Party. We had somebody in our branch, it was the Berkeley branch, Nathan, I don't really remember him. He was very hot for the Labour Party. He made a speech for advocating the Labour Party, and my Regina was the Labour Party. Would be a left in the Labour Party, or against Republicans, and both over against the Labour Party. Seems so logical. Yeah. But then, a couple of years ago, we'll change our mind. We'll change our mind because the character of Frank Swivel in this country changed. Because the character of the unions changed. Because in 1934, when the unions consisted, even in 34, consisted of a narrow struggle of highly concealed workers. But there was no genuine trade union rule.
every other grievance aboard the ship was settled right away before the ship left. The objective of using an armor line because it was chips and rust. It's a real rust stuff, all right, aluminum, pots and pans in the gale. What's on the next trip? I don't know. The ship doesn't sail, so we get a bottle of pots and pans in the gale. An ice cream, if you please, and we can have an hour of the stream here. Yes, ice cream. Well, ships fall up above the ice cream, of course. That's right. But there's no such thing as grievance machinery, first class and second class and third class grievances. Well, grievances are very separate on the way, and ships didn't have sail. Period. But they have nothing in the contract, they have nothing in the recognition. All they had was the consciousness of our battle during the 31st strike, during the general strike. The solidarity, you see. Well, I looked at the way they could understand the ship, and they had written the five day shipping. Now, in 1936, they quit. They wanted to get the contract. They wanted to kill the train line and run the contract. It's another thing. And they wanted to strike. But in the meantime, the government had adopted the Merchant Marine Act in 1936. You see, they're working with the Southern Use Supply for World War II. The Merchant Marine Act provided for a construction subsidy for the ship owner, and a operating subsidy. Two subsidies. The higher wages paid for American seamen subsidized the ship owners and subsidized the shipyard builders because construction is more expensive for them. And it has the terrible catchiness, the coupling book. The coupling book required was a book that required every seaman to carry a book in which his record was published, you see, so that the skipper, by looking at the book, can tell whether he was a troubled record, whether he had been fired from his last job, or whether he had been on his last job, whether he had been changing jobs and so forth and so on. Remember, it's a mirror, we're going to carry it as a paper. You know, the blue books are the blue book, but the very shiny one, very shiny one, so the book is being photographed by the moon. The mirror is a big book. Women wouldn't sign who said, who came to sign on, and said, well, you sign on, and said, well, here, you've got to take the version of the book, because you've got that book. Well, you don't sign on, you don't sign on, you don't sell. The ship owner devoured the 99 boats dry. They looked like it would have been 99 or 199 boats in the air. Because everyone took the book. What did the sailors do? The
I'm And I
make a long sentence about that. He didn't make a long sentence associated with my brother. How many years? Not yet. On the West Coast, prior to the strike. They were living on the strike. That's a long sentence about that. And everybody else has been working hard. But they didn't. No, the strike might be true. But one of the